And we're back.
How are you?
It's coming up at that point where, that point of the afternoon where Paul and I are getting a little bit delirious.
Yes,
that
absolutely.
And all the pop that you've been drinking is getting you probably all a little bit hyper, but.
Yeah, but it's diet. I was joking.
Right. Yes, Rob says we're getting punchy.
Yes.
Punchy? A second. You said punchy. I got to bring up dinos. Punch them, Paul. Punch it. Where is he? Where is it? Here he comes. Here he comes.
Okay,
here we go. All right. You should be careful. I gotta get one of those in my
hand. Actually, you probably will.
Okay.
All right.
Don't throw me off like that. Shall we go to volume three?
Volume three.
What is volume three teaching us, my friend?
Volume three is all about finding out that the journey never ends, but that's a good thing, even though this presentation does after this volume. So. All right. Yes.
Jackpot. That is an awesome way to start off another session.
Absolutely. So let's talk about this. So you've got the application. You're probably almost done coding it, or maybe you already are done coding it. But maybe there's something that you need to know about pricing, right? So what if there was a situation where you had an idea what the price should be and it really wasn't in line with what the market could take, right? So I'm sure some of you may have experienced that before when you've actually published an app. I call this a tyranny of price because you seem to have a value on what your app should be that doesn't necessarily jive with what the marketplace is sort of dictating. Now, that's not to say you're wrong, okay? Because there's something very, very different about how we're looking at at software now. So the fact that, for better or for worse, you know, a centralized marketplace for applications, you know, the Apple App Store, Google Play, Windows Phone Store, Windows Store, BlackBerry App World, it's great because we've centralized a lot of that stuff, which means that it makes it easier for you to manage these applications and everything else like that. And as a consumer, to be honest, you're getting a lot of value out of these apps for a whole lot less than what you would have paid in packaged software. But as an application developer, that $299 that you think you need to start charging for that application when originally you thought it should have been like $9, or for that matter, $70, right? Being in the old app world, software world, it just doesn't fly, right? So you have to figure out things that allow you to scale, but also entice the users and not take over the users. And that's really what I call the tyranny of price. So let's think about this. I have some really interesting sort of statistics here that's good for, you know, cocktail parties and all that kind of stuff. In 2012, I think it was, the average price of an iPhone app in the Apple's App Store was $1.61. And the price of an extra large coffee at Tim Hortons, at least a little while ago, I don't know if it still is, it was $1.90. That $1.90 was an Ontario price. Maybe it's a bit different in other provinces. Think about which one you're going to spend a lot of time thinking about before you make that purchase and which one you're actually not going to spend any time thinking about when you make the purchase. That average $1.61 price for your application that you're thinking about buying on that iPhone of yours, you may think about for weeks before you actually pull the trigger on it, right? I don't know if it's worth it. You know, it's $1.61. Well, as you go to Tim Hortons every morning, almost some cases, you know, like, I mean, you don't even think twice. It's just like, well, I need my coffee, so I'm going to pay the $1.90, $2, whatever it is, right? What does this mean? It means a few things. It means you have to be very careful about how you price your app because the psychology of the user is a whole lot different than it was before. Users expect a whole lot of value for a very cheap price. And in fact, I find it really stupid actually, but it's interesting. So a really amazing application, you know, like they may charge $4.99 for example, on an app store. And I've used some of these applications and yeah, I love it. You know, this adds so much value to my day. You know, like I'm more productive or I'm happier or whatever it is, that type of thing, blah, blah, blah. But then I see some of the reviews goes, 1 star because it wasn't free. It's like, what do you expect, right? You know, nobody wants to work for free. They obviously have goals, and that goes into your marketing plan and things. So let's think about this. The tyranny of price. Imagine you have an application that's worth $1.99 in your eyes. One way to look at it is the users might say, $1.99 for that? There's no way I'm paying $1.99 for that. I mean, that's way too expensive, right? So if you price your application too high in the context of what you think what users in general will want to pay for your application, they're not going to buy it. In fact, they won't even think about even using the trial potentially, right? Likewise, this is a weird thing. 99 cents for an app that does X, Y, Z, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, all that kind of stuff. Wow, it does so much, but it's like 99 cents? Well, it must not be very good if it's only 99 cents, so I think I'll pass on it and pay, you know, for one that's a little bit more expensive. That maybe has less features, but because it's more expensive, maybe it means that it has more, it's a better quality app. So those are two sort of conflicting interests within your application pricing strategies that you really have to take into account, right? It's very difficult to find what that range is that users will find acceptable for your application. There's ways that you can actually manage this a little bit better so that you have, ways to attract users into your application ecosystem and things, but we'll talk about that a little bit. But this is a really, really tough nut to crack. And it's something that I know a lot of application developers that are charging for their apps have a hard time in wrestling with. And they don't get it right at first, most often than not, right? It takes a lot of market research to see exactly what the price attitudes are for the consumer that you have in mind for targeting the app. And it's very, very difficult to actually get that targeted price properly. And so you may have to do some pricing experiments, as I say. So what's one way to actually bring users in, right? A word on trials? The answer is yes, one word. Always use a trial. Now, a trial is sort of a subjective term because it means a lot of things to a lot of different people. One of the things I truly, truly love about the Windows Phone Store and the Windows Store, so apps on those two places rather than some of our other competitors out there, is we have a built-in trial API that makes it super easy for you to actually create an application and dictate that same paid application actually has a trial built in, and we take care of whether or not you can actually, whether or not the user's actually paid for the app. So basically the trial API is a Boolean call to the store saying, did the user pay for this app? And it brings back true or false. And if it brings back true, or actually if it brings back false, because it's like, is trial is either true or false. And if it's is trial is equals to true, then you can decide at that point what your trial actually contains, right? So whether it's, you know, you're time locking it to a certain number of days or a certain number of times that you can open it, or you're blocking some features out of your application on the trial because you don't want to give that part away, whatever it is that you decide to do, it's very, very flexible. And it allows you to really create a really good experience, and it provides a great way to have an upsell capability for your application. And that's really, really important, right? So the intent behind a trial or a quote-unquote light version of your application is to get the user to see the value of the application and want more from it. And the way to get more from your application is to buy the application. So that's that conversion from trial to paid. So let's talk about that. I think this is, yes. So trial mode, and this is what we found in the Windows Phone Store. It's directionally correct for Windows 8. And it's probably very, very true, I think, for a lot of other app stores, but we're going to talk specifically about what we know for sure. What we found is that if you implement a trial mode into your application, so you don't create a light version and a pro version, you actually just create one app or one game that has a trial mode installed into it or implemented into it. If you do that, you're actually going to get 70 times more downloads than you would if that app was just a paid app. 70 times, that's significant. And on average, what we're seeing is that we're seeing a 10% conversion rate from trial to paid. What does this mean? If you do the math, it means that you're gonna get 7 times the number of paid app sales, so the 7 times the amount of revenue from that app than you would have if you had not had a trial. That's a big deal, right? And I can tell you, I see the reports come in every day for the Windows Phone Store. You know, all these apps and games that are coming in on a daily basis into the Windows Phone Store from Canadian developers. Some have trials, some don't, some are free, some are not. But I can guarantee you, and this is true, is with maybe an exception of 2-3% of the apps and games out there that have only a paid app rather than just no trial, they don't get past 100 downloads. Very interesting, right? If it's just a paid app, so you have to pay 99 cents or $1.99 or $10.99, whatever that it is, and you do not have a trial option on that application, they do not get past, they don't even get past 50 downloads. So if that's the way you want to go with your application and you think that you want to have a paid application with no trial, that's totally up to you. But you better be prepared to have a great marketing blitz on it, because you're going to need to do the right things to actually drive the drive users to want to actually download that app. Because basically what you're asking them to do is you're asking them to take a risk on your application by going blindly and paying for your app without even having the ability to try it first. Very, very tricky. So keep that in mind. You know, like, I mean, it's really important to think about that. Now, the other component to this is that some people say, well, yeah, I can make an app and put a trial into it. But we end up with a situation where, you know, I need to make a light version and a pro version, because it means I have two apps in the store, which means I have twice the opportunity of actually getting noticed in the store. Well, there's something called statistical reasoning, or if you want to call it that, right? You know, statistical significance. One out of a million versus two out of a million is basically the same thing, as far as I'm concerned, right? It doesn't make much difference. Yes, okay, you've doubled the surface area of the ability for a user to find your application because you have a light and a pro version, but within a million applications, it doesn't make a difference anyways. Build the trial. If you're on Windows Phone or Windows 8, build the trial in if you have a paid app. It'll make your life a whole lot easier. Okay.
Now, Paul, quick yes. question that we have here on the chat.
Yep.
Actually, before I get into that, there's a really good analogy here too. Buying 1,000 lottery tickets really doesn't do anything for your actual chances of winning.
Yeah, exactly. It's true, right?
Well done for that one. So the commentary here, or the question was, what are the thoughts on trying different pricing and monetization tweaks and stuff like that for different apps, publishing the same app under two different publisher names? Any value in doing that, so you can see how one does is, let's say, just a paid app, and one, even though it's the same app.
I never thought of it that way. It's an interesting way to look at it, but I would be, here's where I say bad idea. And the reason why I say that.
Bad idea.
Yeah.
Sensei Paul says
yeah.
It's a bad idea.
So the reason why is, if you're doing pricing experiments by adding a new app and a paid app, and it's basically the same app, maybe you skin it differently, whatever, right? And you have a paid version that's at $1.99 and another paid version that's at $2.99, and trying to see which one does better from a revenue standpoint. When a user downloads that app at $2.99, for example, and then you find out that $2.99 price point is not good enough, you know, you're not getting enough traction on that, and you pull that application from the store, that basically means that user that paid $2.99 is not going to have access to that app anymore, right? So that's a bad thing, because basically what you've done now is you've actually said to a user, said, you better not update your phone, or you better not switch your phone, because once you do, you've lost that app and you're going to have to pay for a different one. So it's actually interesting, because a little bit of a different story, but there is a game on Windows Phone Store called Chickens Can't Fly. Yeah. It's awesome. It's an amazing game. It was an Xbox. Okay. Now, basically, it was an Xbox Live title.
I'm not up to date with all these cool and fancy games.
Yeah. It's a fun game. Now, here's the problem with it. So, and I was caught by this too, because I actually paid for the game. It was an Xbox Live title, so I paid, what, I don't know, $4.99, whatever
probably.
It is, right? Yeah, that's pretty much average for an Xbox Live title. Amazing game. I loved it. Right. They was on Windows Phone 7, and they actually implemented an in-app purchase homebrew type of thing that they did with permission from Microsoft at the time, because Windows Phone 7 did not have in-app purchase. So when Windows Phone 8 came around, mm-hmm. they actually had to pull the application because of the fact that it didn't meet the certification guidelines anymore, because of the fact that it had its own homebrew sort of in-app purchase and things like that. So basically, that app is no longer on the store. They've since re-released it as a non-Xbox Live title using the new in-app purchase model within Windows Phone 8. But if I want to get that, I'm either using the trial or I have to repay for the app or the game. So it's unfortunate. And there was a, I guess you could say, a good reason why it was pulled, but at the same time, it leaves a sour taste in a lot of people's mouths, right? A good example of this also on the Windows Store was Galactic Rain. It was on Windows Phone and Windows 8.
And again, another game I've never heard of. This is why, whenever you want to find out about good apps, you either follow this guy, because he always shares them, or you follow CDN Devs, because that's actually how I'm learning about my new apps.
Exactly.
To be honest, I'm feeling a little bit out of touch now.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
No, no worries. Hey, it's all good.
I appreciate it, really. Hey. I'm just going to walk over there. You could do the rest of the show by yourself.
Okay, sounds good. Okay. But Galactic Rain was a little bit of a different scenario where I guess they didn't just, it was an Xbox Live title, but the publisher, I think it was actually Microsoft Studios, they didn't get the uptake on the game, and it required a lot of cloud resources. Like, it was very heavy because they were generating video on the fly for this. So they made a business decision to pull the game, and I don't know the details behind it. But unfortunately, it means if you paid for the game, it means that you're out of luck on that. So that's kind of unfortunate. But those are two examples on the Windows Phone and Windows 8 side. There's lots of examples on the Apple App Store and the Google Play Store and the BlackBerry Store as well around that. So that's getting roundabout to what your question was. Don't do it. I don't think it's the right thing because you're going to lose fans if you do that. I'd much rather see you, for example, price it a little bit higher than maybe you think it's worth, or that you think that the market can bear.
Right.
See if the market actually does bear it, and if it does, you're great. If not, then you can always increment down.
True.
And try that.
Or you can even do different sales and, the rest.
Well, that's the next thing,
It's almost like I knew what the next thing in the deck was, which actually, by the way, I didn't. Actually, Paul, before you move on,
yes.
What about this suggestion that we have here on the chat? You could always give the app free for 1 month and get all your users to migrate afterwards. Yeah. Does that work? Does that not work? What are your thoughts on that one?
Okay, maybe I misunderstood. Give the app for free for a month and then get the users to migrate. What do you mean by that? I'm not quite sure what that means. Is this a chickens can't fly scenario?
I don't know.
Maybe.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
So in the case of the chicken app.
That would have been good, but unfortunately they decided not to go that way. Yeah.
I think the key point here, though, is that there's so many different ways that you can go about the pricing. There's so many different ways that you can actually even do trial.
Yeah.
Right? So obviously, Paul's going to continue talking a little bit more about trials, but if they want to find out more, this is all on the dev centers, right? In
yes.
terms of how to do the trials.
Yep.
Right? Because most people think, oh, well, trial is a certain amount of time or it's limited functionality or whatever. There's
whatever
a whole bunch of different ways to do trials.
That's the beauty of how we've implemented it within our platforms, is the fact that it's just a Boolean that comes back. And you can decide on the true or false value that comes back what you want to do with it, right? Limit functionality, time bomb it, limit the bottleneck, the number of transactions per hour or day or whatever it is. Whatever it is that you want, you can do, right? So that's the beauty of it.
Yeah, and I think it's also important to understand what the different things are, again, in the relevance to your application, because at the end of the day, you don't want to be messing around with your users. You only get to get on their good side, I guess, only once, right? Mm-hmm. So pick something, go with it, try it out. If it doesn't work, cool, but put some thought into it beforehand so that you're, at the end of the day, you're not playing around with your users, I guess.
Yeah, and that's pretty much what this slide is all about, right? So like some of the principles, well, it's true, right? You're thinking the right things. So, obviously the first thing around a trial is you don't want to give everything away of your app within the trial, because then users aren't going to want to pay for it, right? But at the same time, you want to give just enough that you want users wanting more, right? So make it compelling, right? Show that there's so much more, or there's so much more value that they can unlock by just paying that $2 to actually, go from convert from trial to paid on that game or that app. It's a beautiful thing, when it's done properly, it works really, really well. And it takes some time to get right. I would suggest when you're building your application and figuring exactly out how you're going to lock up the trial for your application, figure out the right things. Find a couple compelling features that you give away, and then find a whole bunch more that you don't give away, but you sort of hint at or you show value in that will make a user want to upsell. And also, you can do an upsell capability even within your application. So say, for example, they tap on a button that's locked within the trial. Maybe it pops up a screen saying, hey, you know what? I know you want to do this, but unfortunately you got to pay for it. Would you like to do that? And then if they click OK or whatever it is that you put in that button, they'll send you right to the Windows Store, the Windows Phone Store, and then you can make the purchase there. So it's very, very easy and seamless to actually get through there in a lot of ways. And then the final thing I mentioned about trial is, if you're in a trial mode and your intent is to make as much money as possible, which is probably the case if you have a paid app, why not use ads within your trial, right? So that could be one of the things that gets unlocked. Like Dragon's Blade, for example, which I showed you a little bit earlier, the trial version basically has ads, and then the paid version takes away all those ads, and that's basically the value that you get out of it, which is not that trivial. It's actually something that makes the gameplay a lot better, I think, in a lot of ways without the ads. So, but you know, he's making money either way, and if that's something that's important to you, then I would suggest you think about that as well.
So we have yet another analogy on here. These are great, by the way. Thanks for continuing to share. How's this? Give away the Porsche, but leave it in the desert without gas and a cell phone jammer.
Well, that sounds dangerous.
And then charge $500,000 for gas.
Business model. There you go.
I love it.
It's a humorous right. but good analogy.
I love the fact that it's as extreme as it is, because it kind of hammers the message home.
Exactly,
but,
right.
Well done with all of these analogies.
Absolutely.
Do you happen to be a sensei yourself?
Yeah, exactly.
Because these are pretty good.
Absolutely. So I already talked about this, so I won't go too much into it, but what I'm seeing in the Windows Phone Store is that apps with no trials that are paid, they don't get downloads. They just don't. Unless your application is already well-known and has a value proposition that is well-known already, you're not going to get the downloads. So just keep that in mind. I don't care if you put just one thing within your trial. If you got a paid app, make the trial. That's the best advice I can give you if you're thinking about going the other way. Do it, you know, and don't go light and pro versions. That's my own suggestion as well. I mean, yeah, it helps our metrics that we get more apps in the store that way, but that's not the right way to go at it, right? We want to do things the right way. We want to have quality within our stores. The trial allows you to have that quality and not sort of provide duplication of effort. And it actually makes your life a lot easier too as a developer, right? So, excuse me. As a developer, you want to minimize the amount of maintenance that you're going to do on your software development, right? So, you know, code branching and all that kind of stuff. If you have a light and pro version, instead of just a single version that has a trial in it, when you make changes to one, you're going to have to make it to the other if you want to keep it all sort of up to date. So be very, very aware of that, and it just will make your life a lot easier as well that way.
So we do have potentially another way to think about it. How about why not a free app with in-app purchases?
Yeah, that's a great way to do it too, for sure, right? I mean, it's almost like a trial, because you know, you got a free app and then you give some functionality. In fact, the iOS app, the bilingual child app that I told you about earlier as part in the previous session, that's a good example of where they've done that, right? So the app is free and you get one free book. And then outside of that, if you want more books, you pay for them in-app. And
it's actually my personal preference of apps, to be honest.
Well, I'll be honest with you. In the very first session that we did, when we talked about, you know, where the revenue comes from each of the platforms,
yep.
In-app purchase was basically there for every single one as this number one or number two.
But it naturally would be.
Yeah.
And there was actually another tip on here, which was actually great too, in that if you do it that way, free app plus in-app purchase, then in actually that you get to have that app actually show up in the free category, which then means everybody sees it.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
That's actually quite brilliant. Wait, that's a great tip for the marketing plan for sure.
You know what? It's like any business. You have to give something away in order to gain the business.
Yep.
You make that investment. You take the hit to get your foot in the door. And
Spend money to make money.
Well, yeah, right. You know, and maybe that investment is, you know, you give away the app for free, but then the real value that you unlock is what you have to pay for. Yep. It's a beautiful thing. I think I love in-app purchase. I think it's a great way to actually make money.
Me too. And certainly would work for me.
You take a look at Health Pack Games, $80,000 a year. I mean, yeah, okay, they're not making millions, but I'll take $80,000 a year. That's pretty good for me, right?
Yeah, I'm not gonna complain about anything.
No, you know, like, I mean.
And that's from one title, too.
I think that was all of them, but he makes the most money from his most recent game.
Yeah, so. Bottom line, though, that was technically, it started from an effort of love.
Yeah.
And then ended up turning into a business, which, of course, rewind an hour and a half or so into the previous section where we talked about, hey, this is a business, so treat it as such. You never know where it's going to go, but you want to be ready for it.
Absolutely.
So.
Totally. So.
Chapter nine.
We got one more chapter after
hard
this.
Hard choices. I was kind of hoping that this would be easy choices, not hard choices.
Well, so here's the thing, right? I called this hard choices, but in fact, the intent here is to make something easier.
Ooh.
So if you're not familiar with mobile analytics, get familiar with it. It's the way you need to go if you want to be serious about being nimble and being reactive and proactive, even more important, to what your users want. So mobile analytics are sort of frameworks or SDKs, if you want to call the APIs, that you can either buy. You can find some online that are free as well, but some of the best ones you have to pay for, unfortunately. But again, it's an investment in your business that sort of help you understand how your users are using the application, where your users are getting confused by your application, where your users are using the application, how long they're using the application, how many crashes there are in the application, and things like that. So it's a one-stop shop for figuring out exactly, giving you some intelligence on how your users really want to use the application. So some of the things that we talked about here, right? So determines why you want to use it. It's not so much that you get the information, it's what you can do with that information. So for example, analytics allows you to figure out what features are most important to your users, like what parts of the application are used the most within a normal session, right? You know, you can get that fairly easily from finding out, you know, how many taps are going to certain screens and how long they're staying on the screens and things like that. This allows you to sort of focus your efforts on building better features within those very popular areas of the application, right? Or maybe conversely, maybe it means that, well, you know, there was this one feature that I thought people would like, but they really don't. It allows you to really start to think about why they're not using those features as much as you thought they would. And you can go from there to figure out exactly how to move forward. It also tells you how many people are opening it more than once, right? Because if you get a lot of downloads, but then nobody's using it after that, means you probably have done something wrong that makes the experience suboptimal, that therefore makes the user not want to come back to the app. So it allows you to do those types of things. The typical things around on-the-fly debugging, if you want to call it that, or in-production debugging, which basically means that, you know, you have your application in the wild, people have paid for it or people have downloaded it and they're using it. Find out where things are crashing, how often they're crashing. You can get a good example or a set of feel or get a feel for exactly how users are using the applications and what parts are really not, you know, as solid as probably they should be. So you can get that. And then also, you know, identify mobile profiles. What I mean by that, and it's also part and parcel with the fifth component, which is, you know, what demographics are using your application? Like maybe you don't know the name and the age and all that kind of stuff and the male or female, but maybe what you do understand is where they're using the application. You know, where off, you know, what time of day is the application being used? All this information can be actionable and create an even better application upgrade down the road, right? So that's why it's really, really important to think about analytics. It's all part of the process of reiterate, and build better and better and evolving your app as we talked about in a previous session. So just keep that in mind. Chapter 10, it's alive.
I feel like this is one of those times where, again, we're gonna pause here for a second. We're gonna keep it on the screen. We're gonna visualize, well, I was gonna say we're going to pretend like there's music to it. It just kind of seems like it's such a powerful picture.
Yes, it is.
But you are going to hammer home exactly why it is, in fact, the way that it is. Before we do that, though.
Yes.
Question or commentary here on chat.
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts about, you know, what's the best analytics package? Like when you were talking about all this stuff, was that from the dev centers? Were you talking about something specific, or just in general what you should be looking for in an analytics package?
So speaking from a Windows Phone, Windows 8 perspective, we do have limited analytics built in.
Yeah. There is actually a really good app, though, that kind of brings you your analytics back to you.
There is. But that is limited. I mean, to start off with, maybe that's the right answer, right? Because if you don't want to spend the money on an analytics package, that's fine. Some of the ones that I hear an awful lot of is like Flurry. Mm-hmm. Tends to be one that I hear a lot of. There's other ones as well. What we can do maybe even is provide some resources and links to some of the other analytics.
BugSense was in the last Windows Phone newsletter.
Yeah, that's a good one too. Actually, I completely forgot about that one. Actually, it's I don't know much about it other than I know it is fairly popular.
Yeah.
But you know, each analytics package probably has a common set of things that they all do, and then you know they have you know their differentiating features. Yeah. It's just a question of A, what features do you want, and B, how much are you willing to pay?
Yeah, so. and as I mentioned in the chat too, I mean they're all relatively the same, but they're all uniquely different at the same time because each one has their own thing that they're really good at, and so on and so forth. So the real truth of it is it really matters on what kind of analytics you're looking for.
Yeah.
Now, granted, you gave a brief list of some of the things, but
and that's by no means a complete list.
Right. Yeah. But at the end of the day, to each his own per app, right? Yeah. So you may actually not have all of your applications in one analytics package because you might find, let's say, for example, the analytics that you need for apps might be different than the analytics that you need for games.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? So point being, choose the package that's right for the particular application. Don't necessarily try to jam them all into the one package because it may or may not work. Ultimately, you know, as Paul said, these analytics are super important for the success of your application. So you want to make sure that you pick the one that makes sense for the application, not the one that necessarily makes your life easier.
Yep.
Right.
Well said.
Goes back to what I was saying before. Stop playing with your users. Right? Because every time you want to change that, effectively you're going to have to push down another package.
Yes.
So.
Yeah.
So is it alive?
Is it alive?
Now, is alive.
The connotation of this is not that your application or game is a monster. It's just, I thought it would be cool.
I can honestly tell you I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, well, I started thinking about it as I put it on and go, ooh, wait a second, maybe this is going to be taken the wrong way. So that's not at all what I'm saying. I'm saying that your application, now it's in the wild, right? You publish it, it's certified, and you're good to go, right? Now let's talk. Apps that get updated are apps that get downloaded. Now, this may seem obvious to you, or maybe it doesn't seem obvious to you, but there is a correlation that we found between apps and updates, that if an app gets updated, maybe not every day type of thing, obviously, but if there is a good cadence to application updates for a specific app or game for that matter, that is perceived within the user community as there is a health, the app or game is healthy. It means that there is some investment being made by the app publisher to that he or she wants to make the app better all the time, and that there's a progression towards getting better all the time as well. Apps that don't get apps that don't get updated very often tend to lose users over time because you know there's a perception that it's stale. Maybe that's an incorrect perception. Maybe the app literally is done and you've got everything that you've ever wanted to do with it. But you probably best to at least think about what your update schedule is going to be like and at least communicate that to your users via the app or maybe via your websites or whatever it is that you have. So just be aware of that. So Dragon's Blade, again, this is an example of a screenshot that I took of the game on Windows Phone. And when I loaded it up, after I did an update on the application, it actually brings up a window saying, oh, news update. Here is a an update to the actual to the app, and this is what it actually does. So the 3D overworld and cave exploration is now live, right? I don't even know what that is, but that's cool, right? Obviously, it's something that I can now explore, I guess, within the application. So that's cool. So this is a great example where where Nate Monster, which is the publisher of Dragon's Blade, is having a good relationship and communication strategy with his and his users around, you know, telling them that, you know, there's an update and all that kind of stuff. And then beyond that, on his Facebook page, he has a full set of features that he's thinking about adding. He gets user feedback via the Facebook page and all that stuff as well. So all in all, it's a great communication strategy. It shows investment in his user base that he is here to stay. So I think that's a great example of some of the things that you could take into account into your applications as well. Which brings me to the next point around communication, right? Give your users a venue to interact with you. Most app stores don't provide that for you out of the box. Like, yeah, Google Play right now has the way that you can actually communicate as a publisher with people that leave reviews so that you can sort of clarify things or ask for more feedback or whatever it is that you want to do. I think that's an amazing feature, and I hope that we see that within our app stores as well, because I think that's a great way to sort of interact on a fundamental basis right at the source of the application. But as I mentioned, like the Facebook page for Dragon's Blade, very well populated. Nate Monster does a good job sort of updating the users there. Healthy sort of community. He's actually built a community. It's not just users. He's actually got a community around this. That's the beautiful thing, right? He's even got a forum outside of Facebook as well, and I got a screenshot of that as well that allow you to actually, you know, talk about features and share ideas about the game and all that kind of stuff as well, right? And that's a great way to actually draw in and engage users into the conversation, right? So Facebook and the forums make it fun for users, right? Because they want to provide you with feedback on the game. They literally want your app to succeed. That's the thing that's really interesting, right? If a user has made an investment in your app by downloading it or paying for it or whatever it is, they want your app to succeed because they don't want their time wasted. That's a really important concept to keep in mind because it's really, really powerful because it allows you to sort of harness that energy and harness that hope from the users to actually build a great conversation and get them even more engaged. It's a beautiful thing. So
well, and the beauty of doing that way too is that you actually don't at that point have to start building a new infrastructure into your actual application.
Yeah.
You know, all of these things exist for people to already socialize.
Yep.
So granted, you know, it'd be great to have it built into the store, so on and so forth, but depending on what your app is, maybe that's actually not even relevant, right?
Yeah,
especially if you're building a community around your app, you know, like all of those you know, the word games and, mm-hmm. and whatever. You know, what is it? It's app for picks or...
4 picks, 1 song type of thing.
Stuff like that. The point is where you have an actual community,
yeah.
Right? Facebook is actually a great way to do that and communicate back and forth and constantly be asking questions, engage. Whatever you do, do not, and this is a personal pet peeve of mine, don't just put a page on there.
Yeah.
And then not do anything with it.
Exactly.
If you're going to commit to it,
yes.
You're going to commit to it.
Yeah.
Right?
I totally agree. Yeah.
Right? But what I think a lot of people don't realize is that, first of all, tying it back to here, hey, guess what? That's an app marketing channel right there. Hello.
Exactly.
Especially making it easier for users to be able to, you know, to share and so on and so forth. Great. But also, it's a way for you to elicit feedback.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
Get people's talk. Ask them questions. Hey, what features would you like? Or
yeah.
What's missing? Or so on and so forth. Brilliant stuff.
So let me show you example here. I'll go to the...
Are we going to your screen here?
Yeah, so just my browser here.
Cool. So let's do that.
Okay. So this is an example of the Dragon's Blade Facebook page. So as you can see here, right? So here's Nate Monster. He's actually said, here's another sample screenshot of the battle engine slowly being built, you know, all that kind of stuff. That's great. And you can see here, you know, there's lots of people that like it and there's some comments and everything else like that. Here, for example, is showing that, you know, it's not just, you know, North Americans. You know, this is a global game and it sort of shows the fact that, you know, there's all sorts of a great sort of, you know, community here. And you can see Nate does a really good job at sort of explaining and keeping his users engaged, because not only is that good for him because he can elicit feedback from his users, it keeps his app top of mind, right? Because that's the other thing. A lot of apps out there today and a lot of games out there today that, you know, users, like, for example, Windows Phone, I think the average number of apps downloaded per user per month is around 4 or 5, which is actually fairly high, I think, from what I understand, compared to some of the other app stores. It's very tough to keep a user's attention if that's the case, right? So what do? Engage your users. Keep your application top of mind. As a good design and a good experience on the app is, make your users feel like they've invested in the app beyond just paying for it or just using it. You know, they want to feel invested in the success of the app, as I said before. So definitely keep that in mind. So you can see right here, like, there's some great stuff. You know, like, it's amazing just to see, you know, like, all the various different things here. And there's lots of comments and things like that within various different posts and everything. So well done, I think, from the Dragon's Blade team, Nate Monster and team. So, all right. Support your user base. So this is also around, you know, making sure that, you know, you have a venue for users to ask questions, right? So beyond just the support email and the frequently asked questions page that you typically see on Windows Phone and Windows 8 because it required and all that type of stuff, use Facebook. Facebook is free, you know, and why not use it as a way to engage your users? Well, most of your users probably are on Facebook anyways, and if they're not, create a user forum. Azure Websites, there you go, right? There's another reason to use Azure Websites, because you can create a bulletin board for free if that's what you want. So it's very, very important to keep engaged. And one of the things, and this is going to get very, very tough for you as an individual if you're an individual developer, but it's important to think about a strategy around it, is if your application gets really popular, that also means that you're going to get a lot of email from your users, both good and bad, right? So it's very important for you to try your best to answer all the emails and all the questions as much as possible, because it's customer service. It's, again, just typical business stuff, right? If you want to keep your users engaged and happy, you have to engage in customer service, both the good side and the bad side. So just be aware, do it timely, because they deserve that respect from you as a user as well. And here's an example just showing off the Facebook page as well, so I'll get rid of that. This is an example of the forums that the Dragon's Blade forums have, and I'll just get over here. The reason why I wanted to sort of do this is you can see right here, you know, for example, Heroes of Larkwood, which is the newest version of Dragon's Blade, 865 posts already, and it's been, what, like 6 months or something like that the game's been out. That is pretty good, right? You know, this is an engaged community right there. You can see the original Dragon's Blade for phone app is at 1,836 posts. That's kind of cool to me, right? That's a sign that there is a very engaged user base that feels invested in the application or the game, and that they want to see it succeed, and they're having fun playing it. Another one, this is on the iOS side, is Toronto-based Massive Damage. They got this game called Please Stay Calm, which is a location-based zombie survival game, as you can see right there. It's full of awesome, and we're trying our best to work with them to get them onto Windows Phone, so stay tuned on that. Hopefully we can see some cool stuff. Well, we'll see. But again, just showing the forums page here, there's some great, 3,900 and some odd posts for the Please Stay Calm discussion group. I mean, that's an engaged group right there, right? So be aware that there's venues and vehicles out there that you can leverage beyond just the application itself, kind of what you mentioned around, you know, getting in front of your customers and getting them engaged and feel invested in the whole process. So the story is done, right? We have.
But is it?
Is it? Well, we have a few. We have a few more slides, but. Our epic journey of our hero, the intrepid developer, is now ready to go.
And the beauty of it is that the intrepid developer is actually you.
That's the exact.
In case that wasn't abundantly obvious as we were going through this, I just wanted to make sure that, of course, they knew that.
For sure.
We were talking about only the good, though. The bad examples were not you guys, for sure.
Yeah, exactly. Right. It's all good. Right?
It's all in the name of learning.
Exactly. So as I said before, and as we've mentioned many times, you're actually building a business. You are a startup with your app. And if you didn't think that before, hopefully you get in that mind or that mindset now, because I think it's really important for you to think that way. It doesn't mean you have to quit your job and bet the farm or bet the mortgage on this. It's more like just treat it as a business. Maybe it's a side business. Maybe it's something you'd like to make more than a side business down the road, but do the right things to grow your business and you might be very surprised and very happy with what you see. And that's true of any platform, right? So just keep that mindset and go at it. The other thing, you need to love your app if you want others to love it too, right? And I think hopefully this came through loud and clear in these three sessions that we've done today. You have to have an investment in your application success. That means financially sometimes, in most cases it has some sort of financial impact, I'm sure, but it also means that you're spending the time. You know, it's not enough for you to just publish an app and just let it be. You have to spread the word about it. You have to update it. You have to engage your users. You have to do all those things to make sure that they understand that you are invested in this process and that you want to see this app succeed, right? Because like I said, if a user's downloaded your app, whether they paid for it or not, they have basically voted with their thumbs saying, I want to see your app succeed because I'm interested in using it. So love your app. It's your child in a lot of ways, right? Maybe you don't love it as much as your kids. I think that might be an issue if you did. But it should be treated almost like you are the parent of this application and you want to see it succeed. You know, you want to give it the best options and the best choices and the best, you know, ways of succeeding in life, right? So that's the way you should be thinking about your app or game as well.
Paul, you're making me cry.
Exactly.
I'm getting that emotional connection. I had to turn the camera off because I'm cleaning my eyes on his jacket.
He really isn't. He's just, yeah.
Back to you.
Yes. And as you probably know already, the journey's not done. It is never done. Like any good thing in life, it's a continual journey, right? So, you know, with each new release comes a new epic adventure. I mean, I'm getting waxing poetic here, but the truth of the matter is this, right? My high school principal, when I graduated from high school way back when, it's one thing that stuck with me forever, and I think it's a good way of looking at things, right? He took me aside after graduation, and we had a small chat about, you know, what I wanted to do and everything. And ironically enough, I did say I did want to work at Microsoft one of these days. So I fulfilled that dream. But besides the point, basically he said, Paul,
you want to work with Jonathan?
Yeah. Yeah. No, he looked me in the eye. He shook my hand and said, Paul, do me one favor. He said, every day learn something new, right? Just that's how you keep growing and that's how you will succeed, is learn something new every day. And that I think applies to this as well, right? Learn something new about your app that you didn't know, even though you built it, right? How are your users using it? What are the features that you think are going to be required to be competitive? What are your competitors? How are you going to actually evolve your application to meet the needs of the users, not just now, but in the future? How do you get your users more invested in the success of the app? How do you price your app so that you get the right number of users and you get the right users as well, right? Because it's something that, you know, every salesperson will say is like, it's not enough just to sell. You have to get them to use it. And that's true of software, right? I mean, if we've made a sale on software, say, for example, one of our salespeople at Microsoft has made a sale, but then you never use that software, we've ultimately failed because you're not seeing the value in it and you won't come back. The same thing goes for this. You're an app developer. If you want to build an app and you want them to come back, you're doing it right, because what that means is that you're invested in the success, they're invested in the app success, and who knows, if you build another app down the road, they are already going to be a fan if they're already a fan of your current app. So just be aware of that. And that sort of gets in line with what we're talking about here. Engage actively. They're invested in your adventure and they deserve your attention. Publish the app, publish the game. Go for the glory. Thank you.
Huh. Now, how am I supposed to top that? Wait, go back to that for a second. I like that little backdrop behind us there. How am I supposed to match that? That was so poetic. That was so moving.
Yes.
Oh, I feel like I've been touched right here. I don't know what With the words, Paul.
Yes.
We are on camera. Anyway, that was good stuff.
Thank you.
That last piece there was like, as much as I make fun of it, it's so true. Like, it's so true. I especially love the part where this is your baby.
Yeah.
It really, you know what? And if you didn't care about it as much as you did, you wouldn't even actually be remotely putting in the effort to create it to begin with.
Yeah.
Right? So if you're going to put in the effort, then go all the way. It's kind of like an all-in type of deal.
Absolutely.
We have no questions at this point in time because everyone is so moved. And I don't see any virtual tears or anything like that, but maybe we should.
Excuse me.
Someone want to give me a virtual tear out there?
Yeah.
Kind of like a, you know. Anyway, you really start, like, usually I have no problems coming up with what to say, but I'm just...
I hear a Whitney Houston song in the background or something.
No, that
like
one
that.
I would so, not even dare pull off because as it is, Tony's already having his hand on the audio thing there just in case JR decides to go insane and just do something crazy.
Yes.
But having said that, since it is the time that it is, we're going to take a second to, first of all, say thanks for sticking around for all three volumes.
Yes.
I think it has been certainly an epic journey, as you called it at the beginning.
Yeah, it certainly has, and I appreciate everybody that stuck around. I mean, it's an investment in your time. Hey, this is an investment that you're making in your app, so thank you very much for doing that, even if you're not on our platform, right?
I love this guy.
I'm moved. I really am. Thank you.
And of course, since I do have to bring in just a little bit of business in addition to, and hey guys, thanks for the shout out there on the chat. Really appreciate it. But don't forget to take those comments and put them in the evals.
Yes.
That is in the link just right underneath the chat there. Really important, as I said, to both of us to make sure that we do get that feedback from you. And in order to, you know, if you missed any of the parts or have anything you want to deep dive into or anything like that, all three parts of today's dojo will be posted on Channel 9. Make sure you follow CDN Devs and or Woot Studio, whichever you feel like, or better yet, the hashtag DevMov, DevMov. And we should have that tweet out for you as soon as we can in terms of when the videos will be up. Yes.
And if you haven't joined the developer movement
already.
Here's
the link. Here's the link. Wait, which link?
If you have,
this would be the part where I forget that I'm actually talking to a camera.
If you haven't signed up for the developer movement already, please do. Hopefully, Jonathan sold you on the prizes at the beginning of the first session. Definitely worth your while. If you're going to build an app for Windows Phone, Windows 8, and build some services or build some services for them on Windows Azure, definitely. It's well worth your time.
Remember, you've already invested the time. You might as well get some rewards for it. If nothing else, obviously people downloading it. But if nothing else, there are developer movement points to give away, and there are awesome prizes to give for that. So with that, we are going to we'll stay on the chat for about another half hour or so if you have any questions that happen to not have come into your head while we were still live. And in the meantime, thanks again for joining in. On Monday, we're going to be talking about that which powers them all or empowers them all, whichever way you want to look at it.
Some both.
Thank you, Paul, for bringing yourself and, of course, your dinosaurs along the way. It's been awesome. I have to show the dinosaurs again just because dun, 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 I love it. Dun, 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 dun. You only see that when Paul comes in. Everyone, have a great rest of the day.
Thank you very much.
Ciao.